I grew up watching what I thought were complete superstars when I was a kid. I grew up watching Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Gonzo, Fozzie Bear, and all of the rest. You know I'm talking about the Muppet Show. Or maybe even the Muppet movies. And at Christmas, this still gets played at our house on a regular basis, the Muppet Christmas Carol. Also, maybe you saw it over the holidays. Well, a few days ago, as I was scrolling through YouTube, I found a documentary that highlighted the creators of the Muppets and puppeteers as well. We're talking about Jim Henson, and Frank Oz was another big player there. And this documentary showed all of the behind-the-scenes stuff. The question that was brought to them was how do the puppets ride bicycles, like in the movies? How does Kermit the Frog sing off of a log in a marsh? Where is the puppeteer? Where is the voice and the actions behind the movements? You know, this was long before CGI or any of that kind of stuff, but how did they make it all work? And when you watched on TV, it all looked so real. They did such an incredible job. And watching the documentary, they gave some insight onto how some of these things happened. And it was, you can talk about the complexity of what they were doing and the creativity. And you can also look at the carefulness of making sure that there was never an arm or a leg or a foot of a puppeteer in the shot. It was interesting, exciting, and it was even inspiring. It made me think, wow, it would have been really neat to be a part of that production when they were in full swing. As I was preparing a message over the last few days, it reminded me of our great God, His work behind the scenes, working in every way, doing more than we can picture, more than we can imagine, and definitely more than we know. And when we think about God and His design of all of creation, His design of us, the picture of salvation that He has put together eternally, we can picture the complexity, the creativity, and the carefulness that God has put into all of it. And of course, it's interesting, it's exciting, and certainly inspiring. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of it. I want to be in on what God is doing. Today we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul. And man, the Apostle Paul, he is in on what God is up to. He is a part of the plan. In the book of Acts, we can see that Paul is on fire for Jesus. Completely on fire. And we could say that he's even radical in his ways, how he is because of Jesus in his life. Today we're going to read just a small section out of the book of Acts. We're going to look at Acts 20, verses 22 to 32. You're welcome to grab a pew Bible. I'm going to have the words on screen. And certainly if you have an iPad or a phone with you and want to follow along that way, you can also. So Acts 20, we're looking at 22 up to 32. All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit upon us that more and more we want to get to know your son, Jesus, and more we want to follow and be like your son, Jesus. Lord, continue to transform us. You have given us new life. Continue to work in us in a way that we are more and more in line, excited, inspired by what you are up to in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Acts 20, verse 22. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you day and night with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This is the word of the Lord. Now, today to put Paul's words into perspective for us, we're going to be talking about six different things today. Six different things. We're going to be talking about radical grace. We're going to be talking about radical abandon. We're going to talk about radical ambition. We're going to talk about a radical farewell. We're going to talk about radical preaching. And finally, we're going to talk about the radical word. So let us get started at the beginning here with radical grace. Radical grace. We read here at the beginning of our passage that Paul is compelled by the Spirit of God. Like I said before, God is working in every way. And God is doing more than we know. And we can see here for sure that Paul is a part of it. We can see that the grace of God is on the loose, and Paul is listening to the Holy Spirit, doing God's will. Thinking about the grace of God, a friend of mine told me that a few days ago, apparently there was some big winds or storms on Lake Superior, and he said that there were huge, huge waves that were building up in Lake Superior. We're talking about waves that report in over 30 feet high. I can hardly imagine what a 30-foot wave would look like, but that's what was happening out there. Waves over 30 feet tall. Those are waves that are as big as what sunk the Edmund Fitzgerald. So huge waves. It's hard to imagine such a powerful force wave after wave. I imagine that our own strength is worthless against it. When we think about God and His radical grace, we can think about it in such a powerful way. Like 30-foot waves coming in. That's God's radical grace. God pouring out His incredible favor on repentant sinners, receiving waves of grace from God. Not by anything that we have done, or anything that we could do, or any kind of strength that we could muster, but God's waves of grace just pouring over us and rescuing us from sin. We can picture that. This is God's work and not ours. And with those waves, God is working in our lives, stripping away our self-sufficiency, stripping away our pride, our greed. And all of this happens in Christ. That's God's radical grace. Christ dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, breaking our chains, applying His righteousness towards us, adopting us into the family of God and saving us eternally. This is God's incredible, powerful waves of grace. Not only that, but as we see with Paul here, we too have been gifted with the Holy Spirit. And we've been made new creations. You know, for Paul didn't think that this whole Christianity thing, this whole Jesus thing, was just an addition to a good life. For Paul, receiving these incredible, powerful waves of grace, he understood that Christ is life. And that Christ is the biggest difference. And that Christ is the main thing. Like I said, Paul has received radical grace. And not only has he received this grace, but he's also letting this grace move him. So he didn't just receive the waves, but he's letting the waves move him. He's being intentional about it. We could call this being empowered by grace. The incredible power of God's grace has worked in his life so that he's saved. But then that grace continues and continues. And Paul is putting himself in the way of it and letting that grace move him, so that he grows closer and closer and closer to Jesus all of the time. You know what people were doing on Lake Superior last week? Right outside of Duluth, Minnesota, where it's got to be just as cold as here, if not colder. They were putting on their wetsuits. And they were bringing out surfboards. And they were surfing on the waves on Lake Superior. Maybe that's a good picture for you when it comes to God's grace. You've received God's powerful grace, and now you're called to hop on that wave and run with it and go with it. That's what Paul's doing here. And we can ask ourselves, first, have you received the matchless grace of Jesus? Second, now that you've received the matchless grace of Jesus, have you continually positioned yourself so that grace keeps moving you along in your walk with Jesus? Are you seeing yourself being empowered by God's grace? So, certainly with Paul, he's got this, right? He says, I'm going to go on to Jerusalem, and not only am I going to go on, but I don't know what's going to happen to me there. This gets us to our second point. Paul lives with radical abandon. He has radical grace, Now he lives with radical abandon. Paul knows by the Spirit that he needs to go to Jerusalem. And he doesn't know what the future is going to hold, but it's probably going to have prison and hardships. It's going to be tough. But yet, he is determined to go. Why? Why is he determined to go? Well, this doesn't make sense to us because we try our very best to avoid pain, to avoid trouble. And the truth is, our hearts, because of sin, our hearts default to enjoying the world more than Jesus. Because of sin, that's our default setting. But Jesus, by his grace, is moving us and calling us to see Jesus as more important than the world, so that our hearts are changed and we are open and ready for this kind of radical and reckless abandon. For Paul, his greatest joy is Jesus. That's his life. That's his greatest joy. He finds Jesus to be interesting and exciting and inspiring. He sees Jesus as life. And we could ask ourselves the question here, do we enjoy Jesus more than the world? By radical grace, Jesus transformed Paul in such a way that he loves Jesus even more than his own life. We see that play out right here. He is guided by God's grace, and he has taken the initiative, responding to that wonderful, matchless grace, and so he now lives with this radical abandon for Jesus. And our next point directs us to Paul's big picture. His big picture. We've talked about radical grace. We've talked about radical abandon. But we also see that Paul, because of Christ, he's not trying to earn anything. He's not trying to pave his own way to heaven. He's just getting on board with what God's doing. We see that he has a radical ambition. A radical ambition. You know, we're not called to receive saving grace and then sit on our hands, never moving, never growing, never listening to the Lord, but rather, we are called to let the waves of grace move and guide us on mission. This is Paul's ambition, is to go on mission. Paul considers his life nothing. He only wants to, as we read here, finish the race. He wants to complete the task. And what is that task? It's testifying to the gospel of God's grace. He wants to let everybody know about this wonderful, matchless grace of Jesus. He wants to show the world that Jesus is more glorious than anything else in all of the world. God has given him this awesome, grace-filled desire in his life, and he has gotten on with the work that he has been called to do. We can ask ourselves here too, where are you at when it comes to God's grace? Have you just been drifting lately? Paying no attention to the waves? Now Paul moves into this next point. And I called this one radical farewell. Radical farewell. Paul knows that he is not going to see these men ever again. He's not going to see them. But he is confident that he has said it all, that he has held nothing back. He has brought them the whole truth of the gospel. I think this is something that all of us could learn from. Paul knew at this point that he was not going to see these elders ever again. And he was confident that he said it all. He said everything that needed to be said about Jesus. And it makes me question myself. Have I said everything that I need to say about Jesus to everybody that I need to say it to? I need to get on board with Paul here. Paul hasn't just preached to Jews, his fellow countrymen, but he's also preached to the Gentiles too. In fact, he says that he is innocent of all blood. I imagine whether it be Jew or Gentile, slave or free, rich or poor, Paul has spoken Jesus to everyone. So he is innocent of all blood. He has spoken the word and he has spoken it boldly to everybody in his circles of influence. I imagine Paul not being afraid of what others are going to think, not scared of bullies or any of these other kinds of things. He looks to Christ and Christ alone. And he, as I've talked about here, he is letting God's grace, every ounce of it, lead him on. He's walking with the Spirit. And he's taking action. I imagine him being saturated wave after wave with God's grace and letting it move him. Listening to God every step of the way. So he says goodbye. He says farewell. But he does not leave them without giving them some good words. He leaves them with some inspiration and some instruction on how you might ride those waves with the water of life, our Lord Jesus. This next point I'm going to call radical preaching. Radical preaching. In verse 28, he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and others." Keep watch over yourselves and others. Of course, he's just talking to some of the overseers, some elders here, but I think these words are for us too. What takes on your thoughts day to day? What takes on your thoughts? What fears keep popping up for you over and over and over again? What frustrations do you continually focus on and worry about? Now here, I want to introduce something that we might call habits of grace. Habits of grace. On this journey we have to becoming more like Jesus. An idea I saw this week, I thought was a good one. Somebody had mentioned that you should keep watch over yourself by preaching to yourself. Keep watch over yourself by preaching to yourself. And they mentioned that the battleground for this is right here, in between your ears. That's the battleground. And what the author meant by this was that day to day we listen to ourselves. We wake up in the morning and we start talking to ourselves. And we keep on bringing up yesterday's problems. We keep on bringing up those anxieties. We keep on bringing up the pain from the past over and over and over again. We keep talking to ourselves. What we need to do is we need to shift to Christ. And instead of talking to ourselves, we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. Instead of focusing on all of those things that pop up for us, we need to preach to ourselves. Speaking the gospel to our very soul, and keep on speaking it with the guidance of the Holy Spirit until we truly live into it. And we can live like Paul, who says, you know what? Life is nothing compared to Christ. Life is nothing compared to Christ. Instead of speaking to ourselves, we can preach to ourselves. But then, of course, not only to ourselves, but we are called on mission to speak the gospel, to tell people about the joy of the Lord. And as we see here, for elders or overseers in particularly, to be shepherds of the church of God. So, habits of grace, preaching to yourself, and preaching to others too. All of this part of radical preaching that we can do in our lives. And then finally, the last one here I wanted to highlight is the radical word. Yes, you will encounter savage wolves. You will encounter truth distorters, but be on your guard. And watch out. How do you grow deeper in the Lord? How do you preach the gospel to yourself and to others? Well, you've got to know it. You've got to know the gospel. Some of you are all about the Packers. Some of you are all about Lululemon. Others of you might be all about Ford. Or Chevy, or Dodge. I'd like to be a Ferrari guy, but I don't think that's part of a minister's salary, right? Or maybe for you, you're a Starbucks person. But really, we are called to be people of the book. People of the book, committed to God and to the word of His grace. Think about gospel intake. We're in a new year. This is a great time to think about gospel intake and what it might mean for you to preach to yourself rather than just listening to yourself. Certainly, there's a Bible in a year, and there's a lot of different avenues for this that you could encounter. There's a million different ways you could do the Bible in a year. You could certainly memorize passages. You could even memorize whole books of the Bible. People do this. You could meditate on a verse or a paragraph or a book for an extended period of time. Maybe you pick up one book of the New Testament and you read it every day for a whole month. How deep will you know that after reading it every day for a whole month? Maybe start with one of the letters. That's one of the things that I'd like to get started for this year. Maybe you need to look for a good app on your phone. Maybe you need to listen online to a biblical theological podcast. Maybe you need to get the Bible on CD or on tape. You know, over the last few years, my wife and I have gotten into collecting some vinyl. And I was curious, was the Bible ever put on vinyl record? Yes, it was. And I saw that on eBay. If putting on the Bible record helps you focus on it, go on eBay, pick up the whole New Testament. I don't know how many, but it was a stack like this of records. And you could work your way through the whole New Testament, listening to it on vinyl, on a record player. It was, one of them that I saw was made in 1955 or something like that, in the King James Version. I imagine they found an older pulpit pounding preacher to speak the and record it, and maybe that would get you back into the Word again. Maybe you need to take some Bible classes. Maybe it's time to mix it up so that you become more and more a person of the book, letting the Word shape you so that you grow in knowledge and love for Jesus and do His will. God's radical grace is on the loose, calling us to live with radical abandon, fueled by grace with radical ambition. All of us can be ready to join Paul in being willing and ready to give radical farewells. While we do some radical preaching to ourselves and to others, and becoming more and more people of the book, diving into habits of grace in the radical Word. The next couple of months, we're going to be exploring habits of grace. We're going to be talking about becoming more and more like Jesus, and we're going to move forward with this picture that we have received grace so that we are saved, but now we are called to ride out God's incredible, powerful wave and grow more and more to be like Jesus and get to a place where we can live radical lives in Christ, both individually and as a church. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank You for Your holy word. We thank You for showing us an example of a great apostle and preacher of Paul. Lord, we see his radical movement towards You and the work that he's doing, and we are amazed at what the Holy Spirit has done in his life. And Lord, we ask that You do the same in ours. Guide us into Your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.